December 23rd to Ryan D.D. Jai Vidharma.
To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. We're continuing our study, trying to do Anushilanam of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Jiva Dharma. The two relatives, the nephew, Vrajanath, and the uncle, Vijay Kumar, heard from their Gurudev about, or have been hearing from their Gurudev about Abhideya, the Abhideya, or evidence of Raganuga Sadhan Bhakti. They heard about that there are two kinds of Raganuga Bhakti. One is called Sambandhanuga, and the other is called Kamanuga, or Sambandha Roop and Kama Roop. These are the bhavs as they are in Vrindavan, and Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga are the activities and the moods of following in the wake of the Ragatmika devotees in Vrindavan. The Ragatmika devotees of Sambandhatmika, those who have relation with Krishna, that is primarily parental, then friendship, and then servitorship. Krishna is my master, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my son. And then the other is Kamarup, which is unique only to the gopis. And they have a relationship that there's no moral, materially moral, or legal, ethical relationship. It's a relationship of mundane, which mundaners would call immorality, and which is only based on love, not on any duty, not on any familial relationship. Then within Kamarup Bhakti, the activity and moods of the residents of Braj, the gopis, there's two divisions, Sambhog Atmika and Tad Tad Bhava Ichchatmika. That is the mood of those associates like Radhika, Lalita, Vishaka, and so on, who have a direct relationship with Krishna, and Tad Tad Bhava Ichchatmika, those who are the Manjaris. They have no direct relationship, they only aspire to taste and serve, taste by service, the moods of the Sambandhatmika, the Sambhogatmika gopis, and particularly Srimati Radhika. Babaji Maasai explained that there are two kinds of gopis in terms of their being one, the expansions of the body of Srimati Radhika. And those gopis are called Kaya Vyuha or Kaya Vyuha Roop. Kaya Vyuha means the exact expansions of the exact same form, whereas Kaya Vyuha Roop are expansions of the form, but with varieties. For example, the Kaya Vyuha of the Vishnu incarnations, they all have four arms. Or, what would be an example of Kaya Vyuha? Exactly the same form, expansion. But Kayavyuha root means this variety. Lalita and Vishaka are expansions of the body of Srimati Radhika, but they look different from each other, and they have different personalities. So they are Nitya Siddha. And then there's the Sadhan Siddha gopis, who are jivas. The expansions of Radhika are not jivas, whether they're Sambhogatmika, that is, associates of Radharani who have a direct relationship with Krishna, like Lalita and Vishaka, Chandravali, or whether they're manjaris, like Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, Labhanga Manjari. Those who are Kaya Vyua, Rup, they are not jivas. Those gopis who are manifest from Baladev in Braj, they are not Kaya Vyuha Rup and they are not Sadhan Siddha Jivas. They are, technically you can call them Jivas, but they're called Nitya Parishada, or Eternal Associates. But you can say they're in the Jiva category. Then there's the Sadhan Siddha Jivas, who are gopis. And they came in two ways, Yutaki and Yutaki. They came in groups, like the Dandakaranya Rishis, who were practicing austerities for many thousands of years in Dandakaranya forest. And when they saw, they got the darshan of Sri Ram, they desired to have him as their husband. And then he said, in this life I can only have one wife, but when I come as Krishna, you can all engage as my consorts. So then they took birth in Braj, and after associating with the Nitya Siddha gopis, they were able to enter the Rasa Lila. So then Brajanath is asking about a different kind of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, that is Sambandha Rup. Those associates who have the relationship of friend, servant, and parent. He's asking, tell us something about that. So Babaji Mahasaya, and that's where we left off yesterday. So now Babaji Mahasaya is explaining that they have the conception that I am Krishna's servant, or more specifically, since it's in Braj, the elder servants are actually servants of Nanda Baba, and they see Krishna practically like a son. And the servants who are Krishna's age, like Raktak and Patrak, their servitorship is mixed with friendship. Being of the same age, they go out playing with Krishna, but they carry his tambul and other things for him under their arms. It's thinking that box of Krishna's paraphernalia to be more valuable to them than their own lives, multiplied by millions of times. And then there's Krishna's parents. Krishna is my son. And this is their sthayi bhav, or permanent foundational ecstasy. And there are other kinds of ecstasies, but this is all the other kinds of ecstatic transformations of their body and hearts are all situated on the platform of this sthayi bhav, or the foundational ecstasy, that I am Krishna's parent. Then Brajanath is asking, how does one cultivate Raganuga Bhajan, Bhakti, in Sambandha Nuga, as a follower of for relationship. So Babaji Mahasaya explains that for one who has the constitutional swarup, the constitutional intrinsic nature of a friend, which, how does he know? It's either told by Guru, before he's ready to understand it, as in our case, and then we just are hearing about it and trying to practice, but still we're situated in Vaidhi Bhakti. But with our intelligence, we're uttering the same prayers as those who are actually situated in Raghunuga Bhakti. And then others, as they're approaching asakti, the advanced stage where Krishna's form and pastimes are a semblance of it is reflected in the heart, they start getting a taste. And then encouraged by Guru, they follow in the footsteps of friends like Subal, parents like Nanda and Jashoda, servants like Raktak and Patrak, and they especially hear about Krishna's pastimes with them, and they meditate on it and utter prayers for entrance into that service under their guidance. Same thing with Sakya Rasa, and the same thing with parental rasa. Just as those who are coming to Rupanuga Bhakti, that is Raghunuga Bhakti, as a following in the wake of the Manjaris headed by Rupa Manjari, they will hear about Radha and Krishna's pastimes that involve Rupa Manjari and utter the prayers that are written by Rupa Goswami and Rupa Goswami's followers, which is praying for the attainment of Manjari Bhav, and they'll also sing their songs and pray to be under their guidance. So they follow in three ways: by their endeavors, the chaste, it's called in Sanskrit, the endeavors of the Raghamika Bhaktas, the behavior, and also the mood, the feelings. Like Nanda Maharaj, for example, his mood is that I am Krishna's maintainer, protector, guardian, he comes for me, and his behavior is that of maintaining and protecting, feeding, smelling his head, playing with. So then Brajanath asks, well, okay, which one do we have? Me and my uncle, which one do we have qualification for? What type of Raghunuga Bhakti? So he said, you should try and understand your own nature, and then you'll have a corresponding devotion for which you're qualified. A particular taste develops according to one's own particular nature. Not for, I don't know about any of you, but not for anybody on my level, but for people on Vijay Kumar's level and Brajanath's level, they were actually able to, when they had a desire in some direction, it actually had some reality. So he's saying, you think and see where your ruchi lies. So Vijay Kumar said, well, actually I've been studying Srimad Bhagavatam for a very long time, and when I hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, and I deliberate on Krishna Leela, somehow or other there's a desire that forms in my heart that I want to be a maidservant of Radharani under Lalita. So then Babaji immediately, because he knows the level of advancement of his disciple, he said, say no more. You are a Manjari under Lalita. And what kind of service would you like to do? So he said, well, I'd like to string garlands. And then, with her permission, of course, and we can see why Guru Nistha is the backbone of bhakti, because there's no end of it. It begins here, in Sadhan, and then it goes forever in Goloka Vrindavan. So the disciple sees his spiritual master as the manifestation of his istadev. For example, there's one song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur which explains that Sri Guru is a manifestation of Rupa Goswami. He's not Rupa Goswami, but Rupa Goswami has manifested in such a guru, such a qualified guru. So Vijay is replying that with the permission of Lalita, and then he began seeing his guru as a manifestation of Lalita. So I'd like to make string beautiful fragrant garlands and put them in the hands of Lalita, and then she will look upon me with infinite mercy, and then she'll put the garlands around the necks of Radha and Krishna. So then Babaji Mahasaya said, yes, I give you blessings that you will attain that perfection. And how are they able to have this conversation? Because he's already almost at Bhav. And when the disciple is reaching that level, then the guru just kind of brings him into that. And he said, really, there's nothing else that you need to know. Of course, then he had so many questions, which constitute about 10 chapters that we'll be coming to, about the Prayojana Tattva, or specific questions about the moods of the Ragatmika gopis, to help him follow. As we were reading a few days ago, that one of the differences, or the main difference between Raganuga Bhakti and Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, is that Vaidhi Bhakti is impelled with a foundation in scriptural rules and regulations, and based on fear and reverence, rules and regulations. So the scripture inspires me with some fear, with some regard, with what rules and regulations to follow, and I depend on the scriptures for that. I depend on the instructions. In Raganuga Bhakti, there's also following of the scriptures, but it's not that my devotion is dependent on it, but rather I get my detailed inspiration of proper understanding. Scripture is there in both cases, but in one case, I depend on the logic of scripture. If it doesn't sound right logically, then I'm not going to accept it. And what's the proof of that, by the way? But in Raganuga Bhakti, there's just a greed. They're already beyond logic, beyond reason. Just as if somebody sees a piece of carob cake, he doesn't consider whether, and he has greed for it, he doesn't consider whether it's good for me or not, if the time is right or not. If he has too much greed, then he may not even consider whether it's offered or not. You just drop everything when there's greed. So, similarly, in Raganuga Bhakti, which is really has its maturity in Bhav, the sprout of Prem, they are inspired by the scriptural information, but they don't depend on scriptural rules, regulations, and logic. Just like, for example, Premdas Babaji, who's the first spiritual master who has dialogues in Jivadharma, right from the very beginning, chapter 1. When he's first introduced by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's explained that he chants 2 lakhs rounds a day, which is 128 rounds a day. And he's reading Prem Vivart by Jagannanda Pandit and weeping as he's reading it. So even the Raghunuga Bhakti, they take shelter of scripture, but on another level. The scriptures assist them in their moods, rather than order them that you should do this or else. So now I've told you that, now you know that. So now I just have to tell you about your name, your form, who's your husband, where do you live, what services you render. So when, like if I hear from Gurudev, well, you're a maidservant of Radharani, oh, okay. But when, because that's my level. But when Vijay Kumar heard it, that you're a maidservant of Lalita, maidservant of Radhika under Lalita, he became so overwhelmed that he fell at the feet of his Gurudev and wept, because he was approaching that, and his Gurudev was, they sort of comes together. So seeing his emotions, Babaji Mahasaya said, go on continually practicing Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti in this way, with the same feeling, externally following the rules and regulations of Bhaiti Bhakti. So nobody who looks at a person knows the difference. Because he's chanting, he's honoring prasadam, he's attending aarti, he's doing kirtan, he's sweeping the temple, he's observing Ekadasi and the other holy days. But the mood inside is different. So after their initiation and after their hearing now about Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, the uncle and nephew continue their same activities, but their moods began to change more and more. So then when Brajanath saw his uncle, the great fortune of his uncle's spiritual wealth, he folded his hands and humbly said, oh, whenever I meditate on Krishna's pastimes, my desire is to follow Subal Saka, Krishna's cowherd friend. And then Babaji said, well, what service do you like to do? Well, whenever Krishna takes out the cows, I like to encourage the cows to drink after getting permission from Subal. And then I'll bring them to my brother Krishna. This is my heart's desire. So Babaji said, yes, I give you full benediction that you'll have Krishna's service as a follower of Subal. So now how is it that the spiritual master is able to, and I'll tell you about your name, your form, what your form is like, what your services are, where you live, what your dress is like, what your ornaments are like, to assist you in bringing out those moods. So how is it that the spiritual master is able to instruct a person in Madhurya Ras and a person in Sakya Ras? It's because all the other rasas are included within Madhurya Ras. So a person, a self-realized guru who's in Sakya Ras, he cannot instruct a disciple in Madhurya Ras. And we find in the history that when the self-realized spiritual master has a disciple in a higher ras, then after some time, when he's needed to get specific information, or information, instructions about his relationship, then that Sakya-ras spiritual master will send his disciple to a guru who's in Madhurya-ras. For example, Hridaya Chaitanya is a cowherd boy, and his disciple is Shamananda Prabhu. And he sent Shamananda at some point to take higher instructions from Srila Jiva Goswami, who's in Madhuyaras. So because Sakyaras is included with Madhuyaras, he's able to give that as well. The Guru is inconceivable, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it states that the spiritual master, the bona fide spiritual master, has unlimited intelligence to guide his disciple. That's a lot, unlimited. So then, Brajamath began seeing that same Guru, Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, as a manifestation of Subal. And their Guru told each of them, come with me separately, privately, and I'll tell you about your name and your age and your residence and those things. So each individually they went to him, they got the instruction, and then by then it's very late at night, and they both went home chanting their new mantra, not new mantra because they'd been chanting before, but now their mantra had more power for them. When the spiritual master gives initiation, Harinam initiation, and Diksha initiation, he gives the seed of Shuddhanam in the heart, so that by continually chanting under proper guidance, following the rules and regulations, one can gradually attain Shuddhanam. So now the night was getting very late, and both of the nephew and uncle went home. And at home, they began discussing what their spiritual master had shared with them. Not each individual's instructions, but what he had given to both of them. And then Vijay Kumar told Bhadranath, now our heart's desires are fulfilled. Now we'll certainly be blessed by Krishna's mercy, by the grace of the Vaishnavas. Now let's both consider what our future action will be. Do you want to get married or do you want the life of a mendicant? So Bhadranath said, well, actually I really can't decide, because on one hand I want to be free and I want the life of a mendicant, but I'm wondering if I take the life of a mendicant prematurely, then maybe I'll have to go back to household life later. Maybe I'll just lose my spiritual life. So I'm not sure what's best for me. And then, but what are you going to do? So then Vijay Kumar said, well, I also don't know. And they both understood that the only way to know what's best for them individually is that they ask their Gurudev. So, and they were both nervous about married life because they didn't want to become entangled, but they didn't want to renounce if it was going to be premature, and they didn't know whether it would be premature for them or not. So then they decided, because now it's really late at night, they decided tomorrow, they took prasadam together, took rest, and the next day they went to see their Gurudev, Babaji Mahasaya, in Mayapur at Shiva Sangam. So when they went, it was Ekadasi the next day, just like today's Ekadasi. So all the Vaishnavas were engaged in performing lots of kirtan. On the platform beneath the Bakul tree at Shiva Sangam. And they were all calling out, Ha Garanga, Ha Nityananda. And they were actually watching their spiritual master. And whereas my spiritual masters, both of them, my Diksha Guru and my Shiksha Guru, would never show me any of his bhavs. They're always very grave. They may laugh, but they don't show anything from their inside to me. So, but these Vaishnavas at Shiva Sangam, they were so advanced that their Gurudev was displaying, not consciously, but by the arrangement of Krishna, they were able to see his bhavs. And what were his bhavs? Sometimes he was stunned like that. Sometimes he would burst into tears, crying, "Woe is me, alas, fie on me, fie on me. Where is my Sanatan? Where is my Roop? Where is my Raghunath? The dear, where is my Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the dearmost friend of my heart, brother of my heart? Where have they gone, leaving me and abandoning me like this? How can I remain alive? Somehow I'm remaining alive despite my feelings of separation. So how lowly I am. If I had any devotion, I wouldn't be alive. And actually, only their lotus feet is what's sustaining me and keeping me alive. So on one hand, I'm alive only because of them. And on the other hand, I'm so low that I'm still alive." Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to pray when his followers would say, "Oh, you're so advanced, you're weeping so much." He'd say, "No, I haven't got a prem gandosti, that api mehiro. I haven't got one tiny cent of bhakti." Why do I say that? Because if I had any, I wouldn't be alive. But I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm eating. I'm maintaining my insect-like life. My life has the value of an insect's life. Why? Because it's just going on, living, even though I have not seen the face of Krishna who plays his flute. Even though I'm separated from that, I go on living. So then, speaking in this way, calling out in this way, he starts rolling in the dust of the courtyard right in front of his disciples. When and when will that day come to us that we become so qualified that our Gurudev can show that to us? Just like Gurudev, when he asked his Gurudev that Jiva Goswami is known as a tattvagya acharya, very staunch in tattva, and yet he wrote a book like Gopal Champu, which has so much rest. How is that? And then Gurudev began telling him from Gopal Champu the story of when Krishna went in between the two Jamalarjuna trees, and they both the trees fell over, and then Mother Yasoda thought, "Oh my God, I almost killed my son," and you know, all that weeping. So when Guru Maharaj was hearing that, Guru Maharaj was hearing that from Gurudev, he immediately started wailing in front of Gurudev, because of Gurudev's qualification to see that. So then, just as the Manjaris pacify Srimati Radhika when she's, "Oh Krishna, where are you? You're in Mathura, you've left me." Then they'd say, "No, Krishna's over there by the tree," or something like that, just to bring her back into consciousness. So similarly, the Vaishnavas, the disciples and followers of Raghunath Das Babaji Mahasaya, they said, "Oh Babaji, be patient. Krishna's in your heart. Rupa and Raghunath are in your heart. Look here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda are dancing." So then he immediately jumped to his feet and he saw that, yes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, all of their associates are dancing right in front of him in a big kirtan. Then later he became peaceful and sat in his cottage. So just at that moment, Vijay Kumar and Brajanath came. And he was very pleased to see them, and he said, "Oh, how is your bhajan?" So both of them very humbly folded their hands and said, "Well, we need your mercy, for your mercy is everything to us. It's only because we had so much sukriti after many millions of births that we were able to attain your association, attain the shelter of your lotus feet. Since it's Ekadasi today, we beg your permission that we can do nirjal fasting." That means not even taking water. and we've come to take your darshan. So then Babaji Maharaj said, yes, you're both very blessed, and very soon you'll both attain the stage of Baba Bhakti. So when someone is coming to that level, the spiritual master is just like nurturing him along. And whenever the spiritual master says something, that happens. That realization goes in them. Well, your spiritual name is this. Your spiritual dress is this. Your ornaments are this. Then they start getting realization because they're already almost coming. So then Vijay Kumar says, now you say that I'm going to very soon come to the stage of Bhav, but actually I don't really know what Bhav is. Can you explain what Bhav Bhakti is? And show us your mercy in this way by explaining it? So then Babaji Maharaj said, yes, up to this point I've only given you instruction in the practice of sadhana. Then by continuously following sadhana, one comes to the perfectional stage. So Bhava Bhakti is the first sprout of the plant of that perfectional stage. Or it's the first ray of the sun of that perfectional state, which is Prema Bhakti, which is called Siddha, or perfection. Then he quoted one verse in the Dasmul Shiksha, which he's been instructing Brajanath all along, since chapter 12. And now he's continuing as the subjects get developed, as he's discussing the various of the nine evidences, the nine facts or truths that are embodied in the embodiment of truths, and that is the Vedic scriptures. Vedic scriptures are Praman, the embodiment of evidence, and the truths are called Prameya, the evidence or the truths themselves. So now he's coming to the ninth truth, which is the tenth of the Dasmul Shiksha. What is that contradiction? There are ten Dasmuls. Das means ten, and mul means root. The root truths, there are ten of them, ten instructions. The first one is the embodiment of the evidence, the embodiment of the truth. And then the other nine are the truths. So when you say the tenth Dasmul, it's still the ninth truth. Got it? So it is this. In the mature stage of sadhana bhakti, when the jiva becomes situated in his swarup, because the eighth truth was Shuddha Bhakti. Shuddha Bhakti is the means to perfection. And then the ninth truth is that priti, or love of Krishna, is the perfection. So this is the verse about that. In the mature stage of sadhana bhakti, when the jiva becomes situated in his swarup, then by the influence of the Vladini potency, the bliss potency, the ananda potency, the happiness potency, the state of bhav and madhur ras arises within him. In other words, the mood to follow in the footsteps of the dearmost associates of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Braj arises in his heart. When does it arise? At the mature stage of sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti matures and fructifies. The fruit of it is that by the influence of Vladini Shakti, which descends in his heart, then the state of Bhav arises. So gradually he obtains happiness and prosperity that is unsurpassed in this world. Nobody can imagine such happiness. In the form of the supreme service of Paramananda Tattva, or the established truth of happiness itself, which is the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. There is no greater gain than this for the jiva. So that is the stage of prema. And the first stage of prema is bhava. So now he's saying, that's one verse of the perfection, and now the second of the tenth. Who is Krishna? Who am I? The jiva. What is this temporary material world and the eternal spiritual world? He who is exclusively devoted to the bhajan of Sri Hari and has made an intelligent analysis of Vaishnava Shastra under guidance of Shuddha Bhaktas, who has abandoned all offenses and attachment to adharma and dharma, that is, religion and irreligion. He has no attachment for either one. This isn't not talking about the supreme religion, because that he has attachment for. And who can consider and dispose of all questions, that servant of Sri Hari drinks the sublime beverage of Sri Harinam in the company of other Harijans. Jana means person, and Hari means Hari. So Hari's persons, Hari's associates. So I'll read that again. Who is Krishna? Who am I, the jiva? What is this temporary achit? Achit means unconscious, inert world. And what is the eternal spiritual or chit world? He who is exclusively devoted to bhajan of Sri Hari and has made an intelligent analysis of the Vaishnava Shastras under the guidance of pure devotees, who has abandoned all offenses and attachment to religion and irreligion, and who can consider and answer all questions, that servant Hari drinks the beverage of pure Harinam in the company of other pure devotees. So Babaji Mausaya tells them that this dasmul is a compilation of unparalleled beauty in which all of Mahaprabhu's instructions has been expressed concisely. Because after Bhaktivinoda Thakur states the 10 truths, he said these, that is the 9 truths plus what is the embodiment of evidence, the Vedas. Where do we find the truths? Then the last line of Dasmul, the outline is that these are the instructions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the fortunate jivas. So here, Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj is saying that this particular one, this 10th last one, is the it encompasses all of and is the essence of all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. So then Vijay asks, well, I'd like to hear about the exalted position of Dasmul in brief. So then Babaji Maharaj says, when the jiva studies, which we have been doing in the past year, is going over the chapters, or which you can do by reading, not only reading, but doing anusilanam, which means cultivating the activities for attaining that perfection. Gurudev said, don't read, don't study, do anusilanam, continuous cultivation of activities for reaching Krishna. What were I saying? When the jiva studies and carefully follows this dasmul, which starts back in chapter 12 and ends here in chapter 21, or is this chapter 22 actually, chapter 22, at that time he throws far away material disease in the form of ignorance. If somebody asks me, how are you? I'll say, sick. I'm really sick. What's wrong? Ignorance. Thereafter, through the association of sadhus, he obtains the nourishment of bhava and becomes fully satisfied. So now we will find out more about Bob tomorrow. And I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. There's 4 minutes left. We can see all the stuff that Gurudev's been telling us. Gurudev is the embodiment of Jiva Dharma.
Is there something
loud?
I don't understand Vijay and Rajanath. They were almost at the stage of love when they got shot.
The Diksha impelled them to be almost at the stage of Bhav. And they were at least already in Asakti before initiation.
So how is it that they need to ask to their guru?
What is Bhav? What is Raghunuga? Very good question. I had the same question. So I will write to Brajana tomorrow morning and ask him to ask Gurudev. I can't imagine. And same thing with at the very beginning of the book. Sannyasi Thakur, he's also got a some kind of vision of his Swarup, and his spiritual master is relating to him as a Manjari, going, giving him some instruction about quieting the monkey or something in the Nishantalila. And then he's asking, what is religion? So, I think we'll have to ask. It's a good question.
And also they need to ask is what they have to do.
What they have to do?
Yes, shall I get married? Shall I get...
Yes, it's very interesting.
So, is there really a stage of love?
It's a very good question. Let's ask. Very excellent question. She said, why would they have to ask the guru if they should get married or not? Even at a lower state, one knows, forget it. So why are they asking? If they've already seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Kirtan Leela. Okay, we'll try to find out. We're in suspense now. Thank you. Any other? It's already determined. The apple tree is already determined in the seed, in potency. How many apples there are, how many apple flowers, the shape is already there in the seed, in potency. Well, it is eternal. That's how he's made.
Is there something that determines why he's made?
Sorry?
What is it that determines
why? Why did Krishna make one person as a gopi and one person as a gopa? That's a good question. If I try to answer it, it'll be a tongue twister. Because he knew that that's what that soul would want. It's true, but it's a tongue twister. It's a brain twister. It's like, because we're within time, we get like stuck. We can't conceive of things outside of time. Like, when did the jiva fall? Any other? Any last? Are you ready? Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sri Sachinandan Gauri ki jai, Sri Giri Raj Govardhan ki jai, Sri Jaiva Dharma ki jai, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Go. Kisundi Arti Ki Jai. Welcome back. I was wondering where you were. I was wondering where you were for the last few days. Jaya, Jaya, Gaura Chande, Aroti Keso.
I have to go far.
Okay.
I'll go yesterday to Govardhan.
Oh, good.
Just see the temple.
Gurudev's temple?
Gurudev.
Giridhari Gaudi Mutt.
Giridhari Gaudi Mutt.
You saw all the paintings?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So good painting, so good picture.
Good. I hope you can come earlier tomorrow.
Early tomorrow I will come.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Are you enjoying the book?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Enjoying it?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. See you.
See you again.
Okay. Hey, Hari Bol. Hey, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you for the chair.
I'm sure my D, when you put all that down.
Yeah. Hey, Hari Bol. Thank you.